Sleep has been made the subject of much intensive research and scientific study. Strange as it may seem, some people think of sleep as a period of super alertness and consciousness. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz from the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. You know, we've been studying for several days about the soul of man and what happens at death. Millions of people have wondered about this down through the years. They want to know about their beloved dead. Where do they remain during the time they wait for the great resurrection day? Today we're going to answer this question. We are not immortal. We found that out already, that there's no such thing as a naturally immortal soul. We found that the body and the very life is made up of a combination of breath plus the body. And when the breath returns to God and leaves the body, there's no longer any conscious existence on the part of the individual. The soul is not in existence as long as the breath is not in the body. These things have been established in our previous broadcast. But today, we want to know this. If we're not immortal by nature, when will the saints of God possess immortality or immortal souls? Will there be a day when God's redeemed will become immortal? The answer, of course, is a positive yes. The scripture for that is 1 Corinthians 15, 51-55. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So you see, friends, the scripture is very pointed, very specific on this. There's no question but that man will receive immortality. And it says, at the last trump. That means at the second coming of Jesus. Now we need to make two positive statements in regard to this immortality. First, no one has natural immortality except God only. That was found in 1 Timothy 6:16. God only hath immortality. Secondly, the righteous will receive it at the second coming of Jesus. Now the question naturally arises, where are the bodies of the dead if the soul ceases to exist and the breath goes back to God? Where are the bodies? Let's hear Jesus answer this. He gives a specific answer in John 5:28 and 29. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now notice what Jesus taught. He taught that those who died are in their graves, both the good and the evil, and that they'll all hear the voice of God when he calls them forth, the righteous to the resurrection of life and the evil to the resurrection of damnation. Now that's too plain to be misunderstood, friend, because Christ himself said it. You can depend on it. He makes no mistakes. Now, I know how you feel about this. If you've never heard this before, you're probably saying, well, isn't there some part of man somewhere, somehow, that separates from him at death and that goes somewhere that might even keep knowing and thinking after death? Oh, yes, I've heard those things too, friends, most of my life. I've read about it too in books and pamphlets, that some part of man must keep on living even after death. But what about the scriptures? What do they teach? They say no. In Job 14, let's see what he had to say about death and the condition of man in death. Job 14, 12, and then verse 21. So man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Now here he's speaking of the man who's dead and who is in his grave in the tomb. And then he goes on with these words. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not, and they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. Well, you say, that's just the opposite of what I've heard most of my life. Now, friends, I say this with kindness and sympathy because this is a very delicate subject. It touches the hearts of individuals because I know many people, most people, have lost loved ones. And they're very, very closely tied up emotionally with this topic. And how many times have you heard ministers in public services saying, your mother is in heaven now, don't be alarmed, she's looking down right now and knows everything that's taking place here. Well, on the authority of Job 14:21, you can be sure that your loved ones are sleeping the sleep of death in the grave. waiting for that glorious day when they will receive immortality, the coming of Christ. Now here's another text, Psalm 115, verse 17. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. Now that's clear. If one should die, a righteous one, and be ushered into the presence of God, surely they'd be praising God. But this text says, no, they don't praise God. They cannot do it. Now, to me, that's a wonderfully comforting doctrine. I've often tried to think of what I'd say to people if I didn't know and teach this Bible truth. If I had to teach what men usually teach today in regard to this subject of death, I don't know what I could say to comfort people when we stand by that open grave. I'm grateful for this wonderful message of comfort. To know that our loved ones are sleeping in the grave, that's what Jesus called it. You remember the story in John 11 about the death of Lazarus and how he went quickly to comfort those sisters. The word came to him from Martha, "Come quickly, Lazarus, your dear friend is dying." But Christ didn't make it soon enough, and they sent the message saying he's dead already. Well, he was discussing this with the disciples, and he said, "Lazarus is asleep. I'm going to wake him up." And the disciples said, "Well, if he's asleep, you'd better just leave him alone. He's better off sleeping." But then the scriptures say the Lord answered plainly, saying, "Lazarus is dead." Over and over, the scripture uses that term, asleep, in reference to death. That's the way the Lord wants us to think of it. Now, at your house, is there great sadness when somebody rests or sleeps for the night? No, indeed. You go into the other room, and there one of the members of the family has gone to bed early and is sleeping. You're not sad over that. You don't say, "My, this is a great tragedy." No. You say, "Well, they're tired, and they'll feel better in the morning." And that's what God wants us to think about death. Death is a sound, dreamless sleep, and will awaken in the morning, that is, on the glorious resurrection morning. You know how it is when you sleep at night. You're tired, your body's fatigued. You get a good night's sleep, and before you realize that you're not even conscious of the passing of time, before you realize that that alarm clock goes off, and you can't believe the night is over. Doesn't seem possible. And that's the way it'll be with those who sleep in death. It will seem but a moment of time. They will not be conscious of any passing of time between that moment of falling to sleep in death and waking on the glorious resurrection morning. Just try to picture this. In their last moments, they're lying in a hospital bed, perhaps, with a family gathered around weeping and saying goodbye. Then they close their eyes and go to sleep in death. But it seems to the person who's been in the tomb just a matter of seconds, and he wakes up again expecting to be in a hospital room, but no, there's an angel reaching up a hand to help him out of that grave. Is there anything sad about that, friends? No, indeed. It's one of the most comforting teachings in all the Bible of God. It's what Christ taught. And he knew what would comfort men's hearts. On the other hand, if the popular idea is taught, I don't see how anybody could be comforted, really. I can't see how there's any comfort. For example, a man died. If he's righteous, then he goes to heaven. His wife is left behind to struggle along and things don't go too well. She loses her home. She loses the automobile. She becomes ill and finally even loses the children. They're sent off to different places to be kept in different families. Finally, the wife herself passes away. Now tell me, would heaven be an enjoyable place for a man under those circumstances? For him to look down and see his family being divided and parceled out? Oh no, friends, that would be hell, really, for a man, wouldn't it? Or supposing a mother dies and, according to the popular teaching, goes right into heaven. Behind are left her children in desperate need. No one to care for them. Nobody to help them. Could that mother enjoy heaven under those circumstances? Why, of course not. She would want to leave heaven and go back down at any cost to help her children. Or supposing a loved one were not saved. That we never like to mention, of course. We always avoid that. But the popular teaching is if a loved one is not saved when he closes his eyes in death, he's plunged right straight into hell where he begins to shriek for mercy throughout all eternity. Oh, I'm thankful that such a doctrine is not in the Bible, and I don't need to teach it. A man can be ever so wicked, and I can say to his loved ones, "Look, he's sleeping peacefully now." And it's true, because that's what the Bible says. The wicked are asleep just as the righteous are asleep until the judgment day, and then they all come forth to receive their rewards or punishments. Now, let me give you the plainest text. In Ecclesiastes 9, 5 and 6, For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Now, isn't that clear, friends? Neither have they no more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So you see, friends, God doesn't leave us in the dark. There's no question about these things. We could not possibly be confused if we just read the simple statements of the Bible concerning the condition of man after death. And we've already read many of them right here during this broadcast. Peter preached the Day of Pentecost sermon, you remember, and if ever a sermon was preached under the direct function and supervision of the Holy Spirit, that had to be it. But notice now, friends, what was said in that sermon. In Acts 2:29 and then verse 34, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. For David is not ascended into the heavens." Now, isn't that clear, friends? David had been dead for a thousand years, and yet it could be said truthfully that he had not gone to heaven here a thousand years later. Why? Because David had gone into the grave to sleep the sleep of death, just like all other good people had done, and even like all wicked people had done. In other words, they all go to the same place, sleeping until the resurrection day and until the judgment day. So David was not ascended to the heavens, Peter said on that Day of Pentecost sermon. Now, can we be sure David will be saved? Is he a saved man? Yes, indeed. Hebrews 11:32 puts him on God's honor roll with all the faithful of the ages. David will be saved. But in the days of Stephen and Peter, he was in his grave and he had not gone to heaven, even though it was a thousand years after he died. Of course, no other righteous people have gone there either. They're all asleep in the grave waiting for the coming of Jesus. Well, these are great thoughts, friends, and we need to understand these things. The soul does not live on in conscious torment or conscious paradise and glory after death. Those things will come after the judgment. Oh, friends, how could there be punishment till after the judgment has taken place? How could a person be rewarded until his life record has been examined and his judgment has taken place? No, God is righteous. God is just. And he will give out those things, the punishments and rewards, after the resurrection and after the judgment takes place at the end of the world. So you mark those things down. In fact, you need to get the material that I presented here on these broadcasts. We've been dealing with it now for about 3 days. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.